Our readings today are taken from Mark's Gospel, chapters 2 and 3. First from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose, and immediately picked up his bed, and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And then from Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." May God bless to us the reading of his word. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you stand over every time and every place. There is no ill you cannot cure. There is no broken heart that you cannot mend. Even when we feel lost, you offer us sure and lasting hope. As we prepare to reflect on your word together, we pray that you will help each of us to grasp the heart of the gospel message and help us to remember and to live out the great truth that your gospel is good news for all people. Speak to us now anew in the power of your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we're looking at a couple of passages from Mark's Gospel. In this Gospel, it's the shortest of the four Gospels, one of the great hallmarks of our Lord's ministry is acts of healing. At the start of Mark chapter 2, we encounter a rather famous healing story, the healing of the paralytic who was lowered through the roof and healed by Jesus. And even though the narrative itself is quite succinct, Mark does a masterful job of painting a robust picture of this scene in our minds. At the start of chapter 2, the text tells us that when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. I think it's likely that this refers to the same home mentioned in Mark 1:29, which was the house of Simon and Andrew, two of his disciples. And because it features so heavily in this part of our reading this morning, it's worth describing briefly the construction of these kinds of homes, especially their roofs. The roofs of first century Palestinian homes were accessible often by outside stone staircases, and were typically flat, and these roofs were supported by beams resting on the exterior walls of the house. And the beams were cross-hatched by smaller poles and sticks, which were then covered with thatch, which was in turn covered with a thick surface of mud. And because these roofs were flat, they would need occasional resurfacing by means of a roller. But these roofs had many functions. They also functioned as a deck for those who lived in the home. It was common for people who lived in these homes to spend a fair amount of time on their roofs, giving them fresh air, daylight, a place perhaps to do laundry, to eat, and to even to pray. So in the world of Jesus, the roofs of homes in the area were multi-purpose in nature. Because of the crowds surrounding Jesus in this passage, the four men mentioned had to perform what we might call a drastic DIY on the roof of this particular house. Now, these roofs were designed to withstand brutal weather conditions. And the fact that these four men could dig through the roof, that they took the time to do so, tells us quite a bit about their level of fitness, but even more about their desire to reach and see Jesus. Because Jesus himself was in the house, it was impossible for him not to notice the sheer resolve of these four men. When they were digging through the roof, the first part of verse 5, our text tells us quite literally that Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Now, this is the first time that Mark's gospel explicitly mentions faith. And it's striking, I think, that Mark links this faith with acting rather than with knowing or with feeling. In this way, Mark's gospel, I think, is very much in agreement with the epistle of James, which tells us that faith apart from action or apart from works is dead. So there's always a connection in Mark's gospel between faith and action. It's certainly right, I think, for us to celebrate and to learn from the faith-filled example of these four men who dug a hole in the roof so that they and their paralyzed friend could have access to Jesus. And it's just said, the text makes it clear that Jesus saw their faith. And after he saw their faith in action, our text tells us that Jesus said the following words to the paralyzed man. He said, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now, maybe these words strike us as an unusual thing to say, especially considering the surrounding context of what was happening. Maybe these words of Jesus, "your sins are forgiven," maybe they even make us upset because they seem to imply that there is perhaps some sort of cause and effect connection between the paralyzed man's sins and his physical condition. And often this kind of thinking can offend our sensibilities, and it might strike us perhaps as cold or even cruel to see the Lord suggest a connection between this man's spiritual state and his physical state. Now, if you feel this way, if you struggle with the text because of this, first of all, you're not alone. And I have a couple things to say about these words of Jesus that might help us. Number one, our faith teaches us, I think, that we human beings are not just physical beings, but we are also spiritual beings. And as Christians, we know and we believe that we live in both the flesh and in the spirit. And our physical well-being impacts our spiritual well-being, and vice versa. Or as a friend of mine once said to me, our actions impact our values, and our values impact our actions. And in modern medicine, much has been said about psychosomatic conditions and illnesses which are caused by a mental situation, such as internal conflict or some form of acute mental distress. The connection between body and mind is well documented. Is it really such a stretch to say that there's even a deeper connection between the health of the body and the health of the soul? So when Jesus said, "My child, your sins are forgiven," I think that was his way of offering holistic healing to this paralyzed man. Jesus understood that the root of his struggle was grounded in something much deeper, something much more profound than simple flesh and bone. So the second thing I want to say about these words of Jesus saying when he said, "My child, your sins are forgiven," the second thing to consider is, what does forgiveness of sins require? Well, first, it requires the mercy of God, always. Second, it requires repentance. The literal meaning of the word that we translate as repent in the New Testament, it means to turn around or to turn away. It involves a willingness to come before God, to confess that we cannot save ourselves, that we need God's merciful power in our lives to make us whole. And even though he could not walk, I think it is safe to say that the four men would not have brought this paralyzed man to Jesus against his own will. Instead, by bringing him to Jesus, these four men acted in concert with the deepest desires of this paralyzed man's heart. And as I said before, Jesus showed concern for his holistic healing. By the power of his word, he spoke healing into the man's soul. By the power of his word, he also spoke healing into the man's body. Both and together. And through this act, through these words and through this act of healing, Jesus shows us his authority to heal us on every level of who we are and to bring us back holistically into right relationship with God. So when we turn to consider the second reading from Mark's Gospel from chapter 3, we encounter another intriguing passage. As before, in Mark 2, once again, we are told that the crowds continued to press in around Jesus. And with crowds pressing in around him, it made it very hard for him to move freely. It made it hard for others to have access to him as well. Jesus was essentially surrounded constantly by a mob. And in this passage from chapter 3, the text tells us that the crowd around Jesus now included members of his own family. In verse 32, the crowd tells Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are seeking you." Seems normal enough, doesn't it? And we remember that Jesus was the oldest in his family, conceived by the Holy Spirit. But then after his birth, Mary, as a woman of her time, certainly had more children naturally, biologically. But in verse 33 and 34, after he hears that his mother and his brothers are seeking him, Jesus gives an unexpected response. Instead of saying, "Oh, there they are, better listen to them," he says, "Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters?" And looking about at those who sat around him, the text says, Jesus proclaimed, "Here are my mother and my siblings. Whoever does God's will, that one is my brother, my sister, my mother." Now, at first, this might seem like a dismissive and somewhat harsh response to his family. But in verse 32 of chapter 3, the word that we translate as seeking, as in the family, they are seeking you, this word carries a sense of seeking to control, right? So we could translate this, the family are seeking you out to put you back in place. They're seeking you out to rein you in, Jesus, to stop you from doing these wonderful things that you are doing, to bring you back home, to put you under their control. And the verb we translate as seeking out, which means seeking to control, as we said, this verb is used 10 times in the Gospel of Mark. And in all 10 uses, all 10, it describes an attempt to determine Jesus's actions and to gain control over him. So in this reply to this attempt to control him, to rein him in, Jesus broadens and redefines his family sphere. And he says, "Whoever does the will of God, that one is my brother, my sister, and my mother." So those who do the will of God, they are Jesus's family. The four men in the first passage who dug through the roof, they did the will of God. And by doing the will of God, they show that they were part of Jesus' family of faith. The paralytic who allowed himself to be lowered through the roof, who sought this holistic healing of his body and his soul from Jesus, also did the will of God. He too was a part of Jesus's family of faith. And in the second passage, we hear that those who seek to follow and obey and support Jesus and not control him, those people who follow and obey are also part of the family of faith. Sometimes I find it hard to believe that we're already into another new year. In some respects, 2021 was an exceptionally long year, and in other ways, it was an exceptionally fast year. Perhaps you feel the same. But as we continue our journey into 2022, the good work that we started between our churches and our presbytery grouping, this good work will continue. And I know that many challenges will remain, but I also believe strongly that this process of coming together represents a great opportunity for all of us to show our faith, to use Mark's language. We can show our faith by listening afresh to Jesus and by being willing to follow wherever he is leading our grouping to go. The reality, friends, is that we are all part of the same family of faith. And the work that the Lord is calling us to requires both action on our part, and also obedience to Jesus. So as we continue with our work, may we work at it with all of our strength. May we also seek to obey and to trust and submit our whole lives to Jesus. And in so doing, may we trust that the Lord is using our shared work to make all of us into a closer family of faith as this year progresses. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather online for worship. Thank you for the gift of technology that makes this worship possible. Thank you for your word to us from the Gospel of Mark. In the time to come, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to follow your example, to submit our whole lives to you. Help us wherever we go to do your will. Wherever we go and whatever we do, help us to live as a family of faith. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray them for his sake. Amen.